This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bloomberg News reporting, Trump's tariffs send deliberate shock to heart of global economy. Another headline from Bloomberg. France's Macron urges EU companies to pause U.S. investments. Another headline from Bloomberg. UK statistics crisis prompts ONS to cut non-essential work. Another headline from Bloomberg. All gloomy, have you noticed? U.S. 10-year yield drops below 4% for the first time since Trump won. I welcome Chris Riegel. He is traveling. He's in Europe, listening to what Europe is saying about the Liberation Day tariffs announced. He's in the U.K., and that was, compared to the EU, a light hit of 10% only that I've heard so far. However, the tariffs are striking different markets in different ways. So we're going to start in Europe general, where the EU has said that it will retaliate or respond or hold itself to a response 4 weeks from now. 4 weeks. In the interim, we can assume there will be conversation. The reason that's important is that Mr. Trump has deadlines of April 5th and April 9th to impose the tariffs. And in the EU's case, it's 20%, which would be extremely burdensome trying to recover in Germany, for example, from 2 years of recession. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. It is impossible to generalize, but the EU is 27 states, all driven with different agendas. The tariffs talk now damages all of their economies. What is a general impression of Europe? Is this recession talk they're in, or is it negotiation talk they're in? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Speaking from the United Kingdom and from France thus far, the comments have been how we Americans will suffer on increased tariffs on their fine whiskeys or their fine wines, and how that will bring us to our knees. But thus far, no major other changes within European policy. Everyone is watching, everyone is waiting, but not shock and awe here, certainly as opposed to what's happening in China.
They did know what was coming, though. Yes. I mean, I'm surprised only at the level of surprise that's being reported, unless that's a false face. They knew that the tariffs were reciprocal, and they could assume something was going to happen. They know what their tariffs are. Is it significant, for example, that Britain seemed to be spared as Canada and Mexico were spared? Does that point to a direction for any of the rest of the countries?
John, I think that points towards a Israel-style deal where the Israeli government immediately capitulated to say, instead of tariffs on us, how about we go 0% both ways in a quick win? I believe the administration is likely looking for more quick wins to try to build inertia on this, on the easier countries in the EU, the UK, et cetera, before going after the brass ring, which is most clearly China.
Chris is CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, so he has business on all the continents. We started in Europe because he's in Europe. We go now to what he hears from back home, the United States. This immediately is a question mark for small businesses, and they're preparing for what will be the Christmas season, I believe. I think we're not too early for that. They're thinking about their orders. Does this make them hesitate? Are we going to see the consumer pull back, Chris? What's the expectation?
John, I think you'll see small to mid-sized business pull back in that any products that are sourced from China now increase by 45%, from Europe 10 to 20%. So you'll see caution and probably a slowdown in spending. That being said, you have roughly 2 months to 2.5 months before the major retailers have to make their orders for Christmas. If the negotiations are not settled by that Christmas season, then you start to see the apocalyptic economic challenges both within the U.S. and around the world because of the tariffs.
A caveat. I read that in the announcements in the Rose Garden, Mr. Trump and Mr. Lutnick of Commerce Department calculated on the basis of hardware, hard goods. They did not include in the services that the U.S. gains from providing Microsoft, for example, or Google, any of the Silicon Valley giants, those services are a way of other countries consuming American product. They were not part of the calculation yesterday. Was that on purpose, and is that a negotiating ploy in your measure?
John, I would say it was probably on purpose because we likely have more to lose in software, financial services, other services that are sold at great volume from the United States to other countries. Also, if you look at the middle of the United States, the manufacturing heartland, it plays much more to the people to be able to say we're bringing back pickup trucks and glass and steel and aluminum that have left the country over the last 30 to 40 years, much less than saying, oh, this movie is going to be made or this credit card company is going to be domiciled elsewhere. So it's a smart political move as well.
Right now, Mexico is not unhappy, at least according to President Sheinbaum. She's not going to use what she characterizes tit-for-tat responsibility. There's also, over these last weeks, information that Claudia Sheinbaum and Donald Trump have been speaking not irregularly and positively. Now, the big problem with Mexico, as I understand it, was that China is using Mexico as a cutout to manufacture what are essentially China-supplied goods into the U.S. market. Is that going to stop, Chris? Is Mexico ready to give that up?
John, I think it will at least come under much more scrutiny. It's very accurate to say that the Chinese have been using Mexico as that beachhead to try to add final value to products to lessen the tariff exposure. But it's also now quite open in discussion throughout supply chains. How are you as suppliers offsetting these tariffs and cost? Walmart, to their Chinese supply chain, the first round of tariffs went in several weeks ago, went to the supply chains and said that 10% tariff you suppliers are going to eat. We will not pay it. Walmart was then summoned to speak to the Chinese government about that being inappropriate. But it's a white knuckle game, and you'll see a lot of push and pull. The end challenge there is simply that the U.S. is the largest consumer market in the world by a factor of several times. Therefore, we have the power at the moment to push for that agenda.
We go to China, bypassing Vietnam, where Chinese factory floors have moved, to China itself. The reporting is a little non-determinative, but I have the number 54% repeated several times. I don't know whether it's accurate or not. 54% on Chinese goods. You have business in China. Can they absorb this?
John, absolutely not. This is a tsunami hitting Chinese business. I was on the phone much of the overnight with suppliers in China who are absolutely panicked. They're already seeing orders cancel, orders push, orders delay. So the most impactful point of the tariffs is most certainly China. And that will either drive a further wedge or further acceleration in the discussions to try to solve it, because you'll see this hitting the Chinese economy within 2 to 3 weeks in a massive, massive way.
So this headline in Bloomberg is misleading then. Trump gives China's Xi a chance to win over world hit by tariffs. China's not going to be standing up if it has to negotiate with the rest of the world. They depend upon us entirely. We're the best consumers in the solar system. Isn't that correct, Chris?
John, at the end of the day, the global consumer can buy from whatever market they choose. But if you eliminate U.S. demand instantly with a tariff like this, there is not demand backfill for that manufacturing void that's now supply void that's there. So you're going to have a huge, huge problem in China. Factories that are designed to run 7x24x7 all of a sudden are either shuttering or canceling two of the three manufacturing cycles, because they know while there's still demand outside of the U.S., it will be much lower. It will be much, much harder for them to maintain.
More than a year ago, well, long before tariff talk, long before the election, you gave me anecdotes that China's manufacturers were desperate for work. They had reduced their staffs and they were calling around, does anybody have anything we can do for them? That was before tariffs. Do those factories still exist? Are we wiping out a generation of factories?
John, those factories exist, but the indicator of, or an indicator of economic health in China is to be able to observe from social media in China the lines of people queuing, workers who are unemployed, going to factories every day and looking for work, looking for day work, looking to be hired at those companies. Those lines are becoming longer and longer by the day as more and more factories shutter. That is a boots on the ground sign that the manufacturing economy in China has now hit the brakes and hit it hard. The question is, will Mr. Xi come to the table, try to negotiate a middle ground with President Trump in the short term, or whether that will cause further disruption in the Chinese economy that will do damage for a generation?
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. He's traveling. He's in Europe.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.